For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, speaking today about the vocation of motherhood. Before I launch into what I have to say on that subject, I do want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for praying. For me individually, for my husband and me as we work together as husband and wife, for Linda, who is my producer, for those who answer the mail, for Mardell and Alma, and others who answer the mail. They sit there and plow through these piles and piles of letters. Thank you for writing the letters. Thank you for praying for us. And you know that we pray for you. When you fill out those prayer request forms, they are very seriously prayed over. And we are privileged in being given these clues as to what your prayer needs are. So we pray for you. We ask you to pray for us. Pray that the Lord will give me the subjects that He wants me to talk about. Help me as I prepare the actual words that I'm going to say. Pray that He will correct my thinking in anything where I am off base or unscriptural or injecting my opinions, which may not be in any way relevant or even correct by God's standards. Just pray that I may be a doer of the things which I give you. Now, we were speaking yesterday of the majesty of bringing up souls for God, a wonderful phrase referring to motherhood. We are blessed with the majesty of bringing up souls for God. And that begins when the child is in the womb. You can sing to him, you can read the Bible to him before he's born. Oh, well, you say he can't possibly understand that. But you don't know what the Spirit of God may do with that tiny soul before he's born. You know, several people in the Bible, I think Jeremiah was one of them, was called in his mother's womb. John the Baptist was another. So you don't know. It is a total mystery what is going on in the mind of that child. But there is a mind, and there is a God who loves that child far more than you do. I have said again and again in this series, there is no higher or holier calling. That is not to say that a single woman or a childless woman cannot be as holy as a mother. That is simply to say that we cannot ask for any higher calling than that. Whatever God has called you individually to do or to be, that is your vocation, and that is high and holy. Mothers are cooperators with God in His creative work. Every woman is meant to be a mother. Every man is meant to be a father. Because women are born with the gift of femininity, men are born with the gift of masculinity. They are complementary. They are not meant to be rivals or in any way interchangeable. In our relationships with the world of men, husbands, employers, brothers, sons, customers, wherever our lives touch theirs in whatever way, is there something about us which points to God, to the fullness of life in Him, rather than to the dollar mark or social advancement? Have we a true mother heart for the life of the world? Now let's think a little bit about this matter of letting go of your child. A nursing mother usually is not really looking forward to having to wean the child. If she's a nursing mother and also a working mother, then she can hardly help looking forward to the time when she won't be absolutely essential to her child. that's something that you have to commit to the Lord. But there's another way of having to wean your child, and that's when they grow up and have to leave home. There comes a time, I would say, when the child is not older than 12, when the mother needs seriously to face and contemplate the fact that this child is an adult. The Bible doesn't teach us anything about teenagers. It talks about children and adults. And Jesus reached the age of serious accountability to his father when he was 12 years old. Doesn't that say something to us? Now, of course, when he had finished his time in the temple and confounded the teachers of the law, the Bible tells us that he did go home and was subject once again to his parents. That's not the point at which the child is to leave home or to be outside the sphere of his parents' authority. But it's a good thing to exercise yourself as soon as your child reaches 12 to think, I must begin to back off. I must be very cautious in my teaching of this child. Most of what he is going to learn from you spiritually and in every other way, he has already learned long before he's 12. You can fortify and help him throughout the next 8 years or so. But it's not going to be very long. It's going to be rather lightning quick that that child is going to be an adult and leaving home. Are you prepared to wean him spiritually as well as physically? To teach him independence? Are you babying your teenagers? Are you not making them work because you think they ought to have fun? You know, fun really isn't fun without the complement of work. You've got to teach your children to work, to do things they don't want to do, to eat things they don't want to eat, if they're going to really enjoy life. As my parents always said to us, you have to eat your spinach before you get the ice cream. And eating the spinach, which most of us didn't like, made that ice cream that much more delicious. And doing the housework and taking care of the chores and making our beds and cleaning up our rooms and fixing the shoes in our closet and rolling up the t-shirts and doing the laundry and ironing and cooking and raking the leaves and shoveling the snow and all the rest of the chores that were assigned to us six children, that gave us much more fun when it was fun time. Are you teaching your children independence? Do they know how to handle money? Do you monitor their handling of the money that they earn on their own? Do they tithe? Do they save? Give them to the world. What does this mean? A mother must raise her children in order to give them to the world for the blessing of the world, that these children may go out as lights in a dark world, that they may be so firmly grounded on the rock that never moves, that their steadfastness, their truthfulness, their dependability will be visible. They will be sought after by employers. Have you taught them to shoulder their burdens, to take their part in living the life of Christ? Think of John the Baptist's words when the master whom he loved, he separated himself. As far as we know, he was practically always away from Jesus. The one whose coming he had heralded. He was the prophet who prepared the way for Jesus. And yet he was not permitted to spend very much time with Jesus. And what did he say when Jesus came? He must increase. I must decrease. Mary also took the background after the wedding. She was faithful to the end. We read that at the foot of the cross where Jesus was crucified, Mary was standing. She had the strength, the moral stamina to stand. Even if you live with your children, great wisdom is needed, great self-offering and relinquishment of your rights. And I'm speaking to you adult parents who may have moved in with your children because your children have wanted you to move in. They've wanted to take care of you. be extremely cautious. Relinquish your rights. Don't tell them what to do. Don't correct them. They are now adults, and you are living with them. This is their home. A role which belongs to all who share the vocation of woman is not just wives and mothers, but a role that belongs to all, that we might bring the wisdom of the long view, Mary's long view, into the church. Are we women of prayer? Do we support the church's activity by prayer? Do we stand behind mission enterprises? Men are very tempted to be immersed in immediate partisanships, businesses, politics, forgetting about the human family. It's urgent that we women have the heart of Christ, spiritual mothers. We've heard it said, you must love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But Jesus said, love your enemies and do good to them that hate you. We know the words. It's very difficult to fulfill them. But a woman has, even biologically, a relationship to the race as a whole quite different from that of a man. The helplessness of infancy. She knows it in the crudities of the fundamental needs and desires in which all human beings are one. She has to learn to see not only that humanity in every human being, but the presence of God. And I remind you again of Matthew 25:40. Inasmuch as you've done it for one of the least of these, my brothers, you have done it for me. Are you a spiritual mother? Are your arms wide enough to embrace others who need you?
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.